verse, Philippians chapter number 3. Now I'm going to begin reading verse number 4. Now I'm going to get down to verse 13 and 14. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ. Now, let me pause there. Paul is saying, you know, let me ask you, how are you saved? Are you saved by works or are you saved by grace? You're saved entirely by grace, because all of your righteousness and all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. We know that. But sometimes we think that once we get saved, somehow doing these works grants us good works, makes us. And what Paul is saying is, look, you're not saved by works. You're not kept by your works. And when you serve God, it's still all by the grace of God. That's what he's saying. In verse number 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. Everything back there, it's gone. Amen. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended in Christ Jesus. One preacher said, I'm trying to catch him that caught me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul, in this, he's saying, look, I'm going toward a mark, and I've got to forget the things that are behind. We are experts at remembering the past, aren't we? I mean, really, we are. I know some of us, as we get older, we can't remember. My wife asked me today, said, we can go down to the library. And I said, where's the library? It's one block from our house. But Paul listed all his successes, said, look, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisee, touching the law, circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe Benjamin, I've done all this stuff. If any man have anything to brag about, I'm more. Now, we got to be careful as Christians that we don't get in that same state, that we begin to brag about what we've done for the Lord and brag about, as pastors, how big the church is, how straight the church is, how spiritual the church is. And all I know is you're headed for a fall. Spurgeon said this, We're too prone to engrave our trials in marble and write our blessings in the sand. So we remember our passes, but we also are good at remembering those who did us wrong. Now, if you've been saved any length of time, you have found out that not everybody that says they love Jesus does. And you've been in church long enough to know that there are people in the house of God that will do you wrong. Amen. Can I get a witness? Somebody say amen right there. And as pastors, it is so. I read an article this week about the five things, they don't tell you as young pastors. And the first thing was that the people that you minister to and the people that you, it's kind of like David with the Ahithophel. Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I did eat bread with have lifted up his heel against me. And people that you've sat there and watched their babies be born or went to their graduation or sat by the hospital when they're sick or married their sons and daughters. I don't know if you're there yet, but I've done that. And then all of a sudden you say one thing they don't like. They just change. Amen. Some of you all have seen that. Amen. I know as parents, you may have seen it toward your son. And it really bothers you when they do that to your son. We remember how they've wronged us, don't we? Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said, having loved this present world. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him. We're good at remembering those that did us wrong, aren't we? And I can tell that you remember, because at the very mention of their name, that bitterness swells up in you. The coldness, you know, you think about bitter cold. I mean, you're in a room and you're happy, and then they walk in and you get that look. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, the Bible said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So that bitterness will creep in. And can I preach to you, pastor to pastor? If you're not careful, bitterness will creep in to your heart, and you remember how they wronged you. You say, I forgive them, but I will never forget. Aren't you glad God didn't work that way? Amen. We remember our past mistakes, don't we? Paul helped murder Stephen. He didn't throw the stone, but he caught the coats. Amen. In fact, Paul said, I am the least of the apostles. He said, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. The early church, when Paul first got saved, they said, no, this is a trick. They didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. And we remember our current problems. Paul, in this book, he's in the jail for preaching the gospel. He was beat for preaching the gospel. You know, five times, 40 stripes, save one. Beaten with rods, stoned, suffered shipwreck, been in the deep, and all that. It may have been something, you know, right now, there may be something that somebody's facing. Somebody said something. And, you know, I could get all cynical and say, well, bless your heart, they hurt your feelings. But sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Then you don't know the Bible, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and words cut sharp. And if you've been serving God any length of time in church, you've had some words to cut you. You've had some words to wound you. You know, Philippians is supposed to be a joyful book. And when things go wrong with somebody, we tend to get not hysterical, we get historical. We remember everything that they did. Paul said in this text, and this is a thought I want to give you, in verse number 13, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. If you are going to go forward for the Lord, you've got to forget those things. So the title, if you want a title, remember to forget. Remember to forget. Amen. Three things I wrote down. These are just ramblings of a pastor, okay? Number one, control your anger. It's so easy when they say words or they do something to want to get angry at them, isn't it? And that anger flares up. You say, I lost my temper. Looks like you found it pretty good right there. I mean, really, the Bible said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The Bible said in Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, the Bible says. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil, the Bible says. Amen. And so you say, well, Jesus got angry. You know, he threw him out of the temple. Yeah, he was mad. Here's our problem. Our anger is too long. Amen. I mean, we stay angry too long. Our anger is the wrong intensity, because as they have done one, we want to do two. You know, I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to get even. If you're a child of God, you won't. Filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't. Anger is there. So here's some words to describe anger. You're irritated, you're aggravated, you're moody, you're irritable, you're spiteful, you're grumpy, you're livid, you're furious. Anger, one man said, is the opposite of kindness. So here they've come. They've said something to you. They've done something to you. And you want to blow up. That's what you want to do. But I'm saying control your anger. The expression, the external expression of anger can be found in facial expression, body language, psychological or physiological responses. Human and even animals, they loud sounds. They attempt to look larger. They bare their teeth. They stare. You get flushed. Your brow muscles go inward, downward. Stare, nostrils flare. You're clenching your teeth. Amen. You say you're preaching from experience. Yep, I've done it. I've done it. Increased heart rate, increased blood pressure. Adrenaline goes up. A bad temper is sin. One man said, Clarence McCartney said, anger is one of the most common sins and yet one of the most dangerous and injurious to the peace and well-being of man. Good anger, as Jesus had, is how does it affect the Lord? What does it do to the Lord? Bad anger is what did it do to me? You know, what about my feelings? Amen. You said that about me. Anger is the first step toward murder, isn't it? The Bible said in Matthew 5:22, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rake, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, 1 John says, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And wrath is cruel. Proverbs says, anger is outrageous. But who's able to stand before envy? You know, when you get angry, you cannot control yourself. One man said, anger is temporary insanity. You will say things that you regret. You'll do things that you'll regret. Amen. And you can go back and apologize all you want. But once it's said, it's there. It's there. Learn to control your anger. I mean, it said that anger is outrageous. I looked up that word outrageous, and it means exceeding the proper limits, excessive, immoderate, extravagant, amen, unrestrained action, violent, furious, excessively fierce. Thomas Jefferson said in his Rules for Living, said, when you're angry, count to 10 before you speak. If you're really angry, count to 100 before you speak. And I say, amen. So what do you do? They've done something to you. And I'm preaching to your pastor right now. And his wife isn't here, but I'd be preaching to her too. It is so easy to get angry. But you got to remember to forget. Amen. And so what do you do? It flares up. You can't help it. It's like somebody threw a grenade in there and it went off. So you confess it as sin. Amen. You confess it to God. Anger, I wrote this down. Anger is first cousin to unthankfulness and selfishness. Because I've got rights. How dare they say that about me? That sounds like pride to me. Amen. And also unthankfulness. I deserve better than this. So what do you do? Confess it to God. And if it became visible, make restitution. Go to Him. Amen. You say, you mean I got to go to them when they're the ones that made me mad? Yeah. If you're not right this way, you can't be right this way. Amen. So you got to go to Him. And you got to make rest. That's tough. You say how you do that? All I know to say is the grace of God to help you do it. Amen. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Amen. And that is the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. One of the qualifications for you, Brother Travis, bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. Amen. Control your anger. Second thing, write this down if you would. Control your thoughts. Because here's what's going to happen. They're going to do you wrong, and you're going to think bad things. Amen. If you said everything you thought, you'd probably go to jail. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. My grandfather was the last preacher in my family. Now, he's been dead now for 30, 40 years. But he said to read this text every day. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a powerful statement. Bringing into captivity every thought. So how are you going to remember to forget? You got to control your thoughts. You got to control what you think. You got to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. You got to keep under your body and bring it under subjection, the Bible says. Amen. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Control what you think. So how do you do that? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You got to control what you think. Now, here's what you want to do. Their name comes up. Their picture comes up. Their Facebook page comes up. And you thought, they got a new car. Yeah, they don't deserve a new car. Don't they know? Doesn't God know what they did to me? Here's what you got to do. When those bad things have happened. Now, time is a wonderful ally, because time will, the further away you get, the smaller it becomes. I remember years ago, this is about Civil War days almost. Okay, so we had, how many of you know what a wringer washing machine is? Okay, anybody know? Hey man, I got kind of a go. So this is back in the day. Now, ours was fancy. It was electric. So what happened is, you put your clothes in the washer, and it had the agitator, and it washed the clothes and all that. But you didn't have a rinse cycle. And what you had to do, you had to drain it, put water in it, and then they had these two rollers that kind of rolled together like this. And you'd put your clothes in there, and it would wring the water out. And so you put it in, all fluffy and wet, and it comes out flat as a pancake, and damp, okay? Then you put it on a clothesline is what you do. I was fascinated with that thing. I was 4 years old. It was in the garage. Mom was doing laundry and left it there. And I'd put it through that wringer, and I'd put it back in the water, and I'd put it back in there, and I'd watch that thing. And I'm 4 years old, and my fingers got caught. Now, this was electric in that wringer. So instead of the clothes going in, my arm started going in. And as it went in, it lifted me up. And as it got here, it just spun. Third degree burns. I'm yelling. I'm screaming. And finally, somebody comes up there, turns it off, and they rush me. We're close to Fort Knox, Kentucky. They rush me to the hospital. They did a. I've got a big skin graft right here and a big skin graft on my leg where they took it off my leg. And so I'm in the hospital 40 days. And mom said it was just like Noah. You were there 40 days. And so every day I'm in the hospital. Now, again, I'm 4 years old. Mom and dad bring me a toy every day. They'd come visit me every day. And dad finally got smart and bought a box of Hot Wheels and gave me one a day. And when I think back on that event, I mean, that was a tragic event in my life. But I don't remember the washing machine. And I don't remember the pain. I remember the love that mom and dad showed me. And I remember the gifts they brought me every day. And when I think back at that, I don't think bad thoughts about that event. I think, boy, I sure had a good mom and dad. That's what I think. And that's what I'm saying. You've got to control your thoughts. That when you think back, and you think back of when, I told you I'd say behind the pulpit, when you think back to the times that they did you wrong, think back to the time that the grace of God brought you through it. And don't focus on the bad. Focus on how God wrapped his arms around you and loved you and carried you through it. See, it's all a matter of perspective. You can go back and think of the bad, but why not think about the good? Why not think about how God taught you things and God worked in your life and God moved in your life through that time, taking you maybe even to a different spiritual plane, different level than you are now because of that trial. And instead of thinking about the bad, think about the good. Think about the good. Amen. Control your thoughts. Last thing I wrote down is control your reactions. When people annoy you, what do you do? My wife reminded me, we had an illustration years ago about this this possum. Do they have possums here? Armadillos? Okay, we use armadillos. Do they have armadillos here? What do they have here? What kind of rodents they got? Skunk. That skunk gets hit, and it's on the side of the road. And it looks like it's just asleep is what it looks like. A few days later, it began to swell. And if you take a stick and poke at it, you're going to get a very bad odor. Amen. Not just from the skunk, but just from the maggots eating it on the inside. You know, I know that's kind of gross. You take a rose and crush it, and you get a sweet fragrance. So what kind of odor do you produce when you're crushed, when you're poked? Is it this always complaining and fussing? Or is it like the rose? Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, for whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also," the Bible said. "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow from thee, turn not thou away." That's tough to do. Somebody slaps you. Now, I want you to think about this, young people. In order, most people are right-handed. Are you all right-handed? Left-handed? Right? Left? Which one are you? Right. Two rights and one left. Okay. Most people are right-handed. So for me to smite you with my right hand, usually it's a back slap. It's an insulting slap. And he said, turn the other. So they've not only physically hit you, they've insulted you, but you turn the other cheek. Okay. That's what it said. Smite thee. Okay. Maybe I didn't explain. For my right hand to hit your right cheek. This is my right hand. Your right cheek is on this side, right? If I go this way, which cheek am I going to hit? I'm going to hit the other one, right? So it's a backhanded slap. That's why it's a backhanded slap. And so it's an insulting slap. What did Jesus say to do? Turn the other one. Oh. See, I can't do that. No, you can't. But the Holy Ghost inside of you can. The Lord can help you do that. Oh, that's tough to do. I know it. So what are you supposed to do to those that do you wrong? Control your reactions. You know what you should do for them that gossip about you, that stabbed you in the back, that slighted you, cheated you? Pray for them. Listen again to what Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Why did he say do it? "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and the unjust." Isn't that what he said? If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans the same? You say, preacher, they're my enemy. Yeah, we were enemies of God. And he forgave us, didn't he? And he showed his love toward us. Amen. Think about all those years you were lost. And maybe some of you, I don't know, you've even cursed God. But he still loved you. Oh, so how are you going to? All I can say is the grace of God. Amen. Turn the other cheek. Learn to forget it. Remember to forget. Control your reactions. I read a story, illustration, about a woman that was going to get married. And the wedding is there. And the plans have been made. The invitations sent out. Flowers have been done. Reception's been planned. And the wedding was at 8 o'clock in the evening. And at 7:50, she got a note that the groom backed out. All the planning, all the hopes and dreams that she had were gone. And it's been said that she went to her house and she stopped her clocks at 10 till 8 and left them there. And she never got over the 7:50 moment. The rest of her life, she lived in that moment, resenting. There may be somebody here that you've stopped the clock. You go back to where they did you wrong, and the clock is stopped. And it's not moving. And every time bad thoughts come up, bad reactions come up, bad anger comes up, can I say to you, it's time to wind the clock and let the clock move. It's time to stop remembering the past and learn to remember to forget the past. Remember to forget that past. We want to just lick the wounds and just keep it going. But it's time to move on. Remember to forget. Now, I don't know if this has helped anybody, but I guarantee if you've been saved any length of time, you've been wounded in church. Remember to forget. Jesus said this in the model prayer. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There was a man in the Bible that owed 10,000 talents. And he went to the master and he begged forgiveness and he frankly forgave him. But this same servant had another servant that owed him 100 pence. And he grabbed him and put him in the jail until he could pay. The big boss found out what happened and strongly condemned that one that owed the 10,000 talents. He said, preacher, I can't forgive what they've done compared to the 10,000 talents that I owed God. Forgiving 100 pence is not that difficult. And you'll never move on until you get that heart of forgiveness and remember to forget. Forget what they've done. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Can we do an invitation, preacher?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My wife can play the piano. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Miss Judy, come on up. Play the piano, if you would. So the title is Remember to Forget. As I've preached this, there's some of you, I've seen you nod your head that, yes, someone has done you wrong. May have been in church, may have been out of church. They've cheated you, they've gossiped, they've lied about you, they've ruined relationships for you, they've done much damage. Say, preacher, how can I forgive? The same way when you think about how God forgives you. He forgives, and he chooses not to remember. And you've got to do the same thing. Your clock may be stopped at that 7:50. Time to wind it up and move on and do something for God. You cannot press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus until you wind up the clock and start going. Father in heaven, I love you tonight. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I remember the first time I studied this. Oh, you convicted. I had to hit the altar, God. It is so easy for me to get angry. It's so easy for me to have rampant thoughts. It's so easy to have the reaction that's not pleasing to you. But God, help me control my anger and control my actions and control my thoughts. Forgive us of our sins and let us forgive our brothers and sisters. I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just for a minute, she'll play a verse or two. If God's talked to your heart, you can either pray where you're at or come up here either way. But God's talked to your heart. Remember to forget this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I know the context he's talking about, forgetting his good works to be saved. I know that. But I think the message is very pertinent to us. Remember to forget. Say, preacher, nobody's hurt me. Can I add the word to that? Yet. Because if you serve the Lord, you will be wounded in battle. And when it comes, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? How are you going to react? What are you going to think about? Is your anger going to flare up? May God help us. May God help us to learn to forgive.